What's good? What's good? It's C. Wood. Back at you again with the latest and greatest episode of Ball About the South with C. Wood. Ball About the South, that sports podcast where it's real sports, real Southern flavor. I am your host, Kerry Wood. Call me C. Wood for short. At C. Wood on sports on Twitter and IG is where you can find me. And I want to say Happy New Year. I know we are almost 2 full weeks into 2023, but it is my first time that I have gotten to speak to you guys, and I definitely want to wish you a happy new year, a happy, prosperous, safe, and healthy new year. I have to put that in there, absolutely, and I definitely hope that you had a really nice holiday for Christmas and, of course, for New Year. Hope you got to spend it with family and friends and all of that. Or if that wasn't your thing, hope you got to do something that you really love to do, whether it was taking a vacation or whatever you got to do. I hope that you really had a very nice and blessed Christmas holiday season. Anyway, we're back. And again, it's been a little bit of time since I've joined you last. I think the last time I joined you, we were talking about the SWAC championship game and the it was aftermath of the SEC championship game there against LSU. So it's been a minute. It has been a minute, and we're going to catch up a little bit. No long show today at all. You know me, I can go over an hour and a half sometimes, but we're just going to make this one quick and concise. Just got a few things I want to talk about as we get ready for the NFL playoffs to begin. A lot of matchups that are very intriguing in this super wild card weekend. We're going to get into that. Obviously, we're going to talk some, go back into the past a little bit, like this past Monday night with the Georgia Bulldogs just laying the hammer down. I mean, you're talking about barking and biting. The Dogs did their thing against the TCU Horned Frogs 65-7. I think it was the biggest margin of victory for any team in a bowl game, especially a national championship game. I know that for a fact. Just crazy. As far as like here in the CFP playoff, the biggest margins of victory I can think of, or unfortunately the first one I can think of, is the 44-16 game where Clemson beat up on my Alabama Crimson Tide. And then the next one I can remember was the 52-24 victory by the Crimson Tide over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Those are the two biggest ones I remember. I do believe in the very first national championship game out of the playoff, Ohio State really kind of put it on Oregon, but I have not looked up that score, but I know they won by a pretty good margin. But other than that, all the national championship games have been relatively close. Obviously, we've had some really close games. Alabama and Clemson had a really close one there. Obviously, we had the overtime game, the second and 26th game with Alabama and Georgia. So, we've had some really tight games. And, to see the blowout like that was just crazy. I really thought TCU would be able to hang in there. I never thought TCU would be able to win the game. But I thought that once they kind of got over their, their jitters or whatever coming into a big game like that, I felt like they would settle down and really give Georgia a game. It's never happened. I mean, I didn't think it would be like one score game or anything like that. I didn't think it would be like, okay, well, we're talking about maybe going to overtime or anything like that. My thing was, Georgia came in 13-point favorite. I think it started out like 12.5 was the first number that I saw. I think it got as high as 13.5, which really would have made me think about playing the play that I looked at. And the play that I looked at was TCU covering those 13 points. That's what it ended up as, being a 13-point, Georgia being a 13-point favorite. And I really thought TCU had a chance to kind of backdoor cover that. I really thought, okay, you know, I can see Georgia getting up maybe 3 touchdowns, you know, getting up 20 points or something like that, 17 points. And then here goes TCU at the end, you know, something like 37-20, something like that. And then TCU comes in with a late touchdown and gets a backdoor cover. That's why I came up with my score 37-27. Well, I wasn't nowhere near that. And Georgia was like, look, we're not having any problems here tonight. We're going to go and take care of this thing really quick. They had the one little error where they had the mix up in the secondary where TCU hit the long pass after it was 10-0. They came back and made it 10-7. And that was all she wrote. Georgia went right back down the field, made it 17-7, 24-7, 31-7, and then for good measure sat there and got the turnover there at the end of the half and made it 38-7, and then they were getting the doggone ball to start the second half. I mean, this is crazy. So, again, congrats to the Georgia Bulldogs. Coach Kirby Smart has done a fantastic job over there. As you know, look, you know, I'm a Bama fan, and I see a lot of Bama fans talking a lot of stuff about Kirby. Obviously, I saw a lot of people talking a lot of things about Kirby when he first got the job. He wasn't going to be able to turn this thing around. I'm not going to say that I thought that they would do the repeat, okay? I'm not going to say I thought he would get it to this level where Georgia is right now. But I mean, I'm not surprised that he's being really successful there. I'm not surprised at all. I felt like he really would be. And they made a fantastic hire. There's no question about that, hiring him back. Obviously, he was a player there when he went to school. So, man, just big time. Again, look, I don't like it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm a Bama fan. You know, we got to get those boys back next year some kind of way. But I'm not going to sit here and be stupid about it. I'm going to congratulate them and, you know, hey, recognize that they are the standard, at least today. Right now, they are the standard of what everybody wants to be in college football. Let's just be real about it. I do think Alabama's right behind them, though. And it's funny that, you know, and then again, I want to also congratulate the fans and everything of Georgia Bulldogs as well. I know a lot of Georgia fans congratulate them as well. All the players, all of that. Stetson Bennett, who's been unfairly underrated all these years, man. Big time props to him as well. Another national championship game MVP under his belt. But what I was going to say, speaking of, you know, talking about number two, I mean, I think if you really sit there and look at this thing, the way this playoff played out, you look at Michigan losing to TCU. I think you look at, obviously, you know, well, Ohio State lost to Georgia. And then you look at Alabama blowing out Kansas State, who is the Big 12 winner, won the Big 12 championship, beating TCU. I think you could kind of make a case for Alabama to be number two. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. That was never going to happen. You're never going to see them, the AP, or you're probably never going to get enough coaches to sit there and vote a team that was not in the national championship game in the top two. It's just not going to happen. Probably not even in the top four. I don't, you know, be honest with you, I didn't even look at it. I don't know what Alabama was. I just know more than likely they were five. Again, I just don't do polls that much. I don't really look at them. But I think that it needs to be said, man. You know, we had the little thing with David Pollack on ESPN during the national championship game with Nick Saban sitting there. Nick Saban kind of looked at him kind of wild when David Pollack said he, you know, I think he kind of said something along the lines that Georgia is the standard in college football right now. Something, I can't remember the exact phrase that he used. That was classic stuff right there. And he kind of, you know, kind of took a shot at Alabama at the same time. I don't think Pollock meant anything by it. I mean, really, Pollock is a guy that I pretty much like there on ESPN, doing the SEC stuff here and there, but he's mostly, you know, a national guy or whatever. But obviously, he was a big-time linebacker at Georgia. He ended up having an injury or whatever and was not able to make it in the NFL very long. But, you know, look, I don't have a problem at all with what Pollock said. A lot of people do. Obviously, a lot of Alabama fans do. And now the media obviously is running away with it. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, Nick Saban did vote Alabama number two, and he was the only coach to vote Alabama number two in the coaches poll. Which is very interesting, of course. I mean, obviously, look, I'm not going to sit here and argue with Nick on that. I mean, I think it is definitely not out of the stretch of the imagination to sit here and say that Alabama could be the second best team in the country right now. I don't think that's crazy to say. I just really don't. And it gets back to what I've always said about, you know, everyone saying Alabama shouldn't have been in the playoff or whatever. And I mean, look, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying that Alabama necessarily should have been in the playoff. But I'll say this. I mean, you sit there and you look at TCU. You look at Michigan and Ohio State. You let those three teams play Alabama's four-game road schedule this season inside the SEC. And do all three of those teams go undefeated? Nah. I just really don't think so. You talk about going to Tennessee, going to, at the time when Alabama went to Arkansas, I think was still ranked, I think when it was before KJ Jefferson's injury, okay, going to LSU, going to Mississippi State. I just don't believe either one of those three teams comes out of that unscathed. I think TCU, I think from what we saw Monday night, I don't know if TCU wins any of those games, to be honest. I can't sit here and say that TCU wins any of those games, but I definitely think they lose at least two, just like Alabama did. I think you sit there and look at Ohio State and Michigan, I think they lose at least one of those games. That's all I've ever said about Alabama's playoff hopes, or everybody saying, well, Alabama lost two games. Well, those three teams that's in the playoff other than Georgia, we're going to lose, more than likely we're going to lose one of those games too. Anyway, so you look at those three teams other than obviously the number one team, Georgia. Alabama definitely is arguably as good or better than all of them. I don't think anyone's going to sit here and argue with that. Alabama had their huge win against Kansas State there in the Sugar Bowl. Bryce Young went out with a bang. Unfortunately, Will Anderson, Brian Branch, and Jahmyr Gibbs are all going to forego their senior seasons and go to the NFL, which is no surprise at all. Also, Henry Tolotolo, middle linebacker number 10, he will also forego his senior season. So, again, congratulations to those guys. Really enjoyed having them playing for my favorite team, and I wish them nothing but the best going forward. A lot of talk going on about Bryce Young after what happened this past Sunday. A lot of talk with the Chicago Bears claiming the number one pick over the Houston Texans. And, of course, that was another huge conversation in that, with Lovie Smith and the Texans deciding to go for the victory instead of going to overtime after they tied the game. First of all, forget overtime. You know, their fans are trying to figure out why they're even trying to win the game at all. Why are we even trying in this game? Our goal should be to sit here and get this number one pick. We shouldn't even be trying. Why are our starters still in the game? Why are we still trying to win this game? Our goal is to win the number one pick. And so they get that touchdown, make it 31-30. They decide to go for two. Obviously, they get it. They stop Indianapolis on the final drive, and they end up with the number two pick because the Chicago Bears lost their game to Minnesota, And and now it everything is crazy with that. So what are these two teams are going to do? What are the Chicago Bears going to do? A lot of people think it's just automatic that the Bears are going to trade this pick. I mean, and I've been talking on Twitter all week, man. Like, I just don't think it's just, it's just that cut and dry. I just don't really think it is, because we talk about the number one pick on a yearly basis. I mean, maybe not every year, but quite often we talk about the possibility of the team that has that number one pick trading down, because, you know, usually the team that has the number one pick is going to have a lot more than one need on their football team. So we always say, oh, well, would they trade down with someone and maybe secure three or four players that they can spread throughout their team and help their team out a little bit more versus just adding the one player? I mean, Chicago is is the classic team to think about this, because they, you would think that they should be secure and thinking that they have their quarterback. I mean, Justin Fields should have proven that. So obviously, you know, Bryce Young would be the supposed number one pick or whatever. Everyone thinks he's going to be the number one pick. Obviously, Chicago doesn't need a quarterback, so why would you do that? But I just don't know if it's that cut and dry, because all the times we've talked about the number one pick being traded, it's only been done like four times in the history of the NFL draft. We talk about it in the NBA all the time, and it's not happened there that often as well. So again, the Bears are the classic team that would, you know, you would think would do it. I just don't know if they, I don't know for sure that they're going to do that. And then there's another scenario out there. What about this? I mean, what about them trading Justin Fields? If they like Bryce Young better, if they think Bryce Young is going to be the better quarterback, you're more than likely going to get more value for Justin Fields than you would the number one pick. So, could that be a possibility? It's going to be very interesting. Now, the one thing I will say about this, if I'm the Bears, if you're looking at the order of the draft right now, if I've got the number one pick, if I'm trading down, I don't think I'm trading out of the top five, because I'm going to get someone like Will Anderson in this draft regardless. If I don't get Bryce Young, if I give up this first pick and you give me a couple players for that first pick or whatever, I'm gonna get Will Anderson or someone else that I want near the top of this draft. I'm not gonna sit there and drop. Definitely not out of the top 10. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna do that. You know, let's just say the Titans, who are sitting there at 11, say, okay, you know what? We want Bryce Young. Well, I'm not trading with the Titans. I'm not trading 10 spots for you to get Bryce Young and me to get three or four of your players or draft picks or whatever the combination would be. That's just my thoughts on that. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they play this. To me, there are only a couple teams in that top 10 that are for sure going to be looking for quarterbacks. That's the Colts and the Carolina Panthers. Those are the only two surefire that I would think would draft a quarterback. Then you have, of course, now the Raiders would be in the mix, because now it's pretty much a done deal that they're not going to have Derek Carr. So, yeah, I guess you'd have to add the Raiders to that mix. And, of course, the Raiders, you know, they would be a team that probably would trade up and try to do something like that to get Bryce Young. I would not be surprised at all if that happened. And there are a couple of teams, the Seahawks, you could make that argument. Do they feel like Geno Smith is the guy going forward for the next couple of years? Or do they feel like they need to go in a different direction? We'll see. So it's going to be very interesting. A lot of interesting talk around those top picks. I mentioned the Tennessee Titans, man, and that is my favorite team in the NFL. They fall short of the playoffs. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. They started, you know, they had one of their coordinators they fired him. Todd Downing, offensive coordinator. Everyone has been calling for that for the longest time, and it finally happened. Todd Downing and that offense has just been very anemic, to say the least, and they have gotten rid of him. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring into the fold to guide whoever's going to be the quarterback. Because look, it's, you know, Ryan Tannehill appears to be the guy because he's obviously under contract and everything. But not many Titan fans want Ryan Tannehill to be the guy. Very few do. Obviously, I think he could do worse than Ryan Tannehill, but I think, you know, again, I'm putting me in the group that says let's move on to something bigger and better. Who knows? I don't know if there was a way out that Tennessee could bring in a Derek Carr. I mean, I would be down with that, because I'll tell you what, you sit there and you look at right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars doing their thing with Trevor Lawrence. We're going to talk about them in just a minute as they get ready for their wild card game. You sit there and you look at the prospects of Indianapolis getting a quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They're probably going to get one of those guys. And then the Texans probably are gonna get the other one, whether it's Stroud or Young. It's very possible that Stroud and Young are going to be in AFC South starting next season, along with Trevor Lawrence. And Tennessee is sitting there with Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. So it's going to be, you know, it would not be a bad deal for me. I don't know if you can get it done or not. Derek Carr is looking for a team that he can win with. You know, again, we can sit there and argue about the receivers, the skill set that the Titans have on the outside or whatever. But if you get another couple of receivers, you give Treylon Burks another year to get acclimated to the NFL, having a guy like Derek Carr might not be a bad idea. That's just me. So we'll see how that goes. A lot of people obviously want one of the young quarterbacks. We'll see how that goes too, man. I'm just not sure how it plays out. But I know that the Titans will be a much different looking team come 2023 when we kick it off here in August and September. Anyway, I mentioned the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the Jags. We're going to talk about these wild card games when Ball About the South continues. All right, y'all, we're back in. Ball About the South continues. And you see the title of this particular episode, and it is Changing of the Guard, and I've got that question mark by it. We talked about Georgia earlier in the show, you know, kind of that changing of the guard. You know, got David Pollack's comments and a lot of people talking about it on Twitter. Obviously, people like Paul Feinbaum talking this stuff, saying that Georgia is the new standard. I'm not, you know, it's hard to argue that right now. I mean, right now, today, Georgia is the standard. Let's just be real about it. They have won two consecutive national championships. But has the torch been fully passed from Alabama to Georgia? And I think we'll find that out here soon. I think Alabama, in my opinion, still has what you would call a dynasty. And Georgia's building their dynasty. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's move that changing of the guard talk to the AFC South. When we just talked about the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the Titans, look, I can't really sit here and say that the Titans have been dominant or anything like that. They have won the last two AFC South titles. I think it's really been kind of a collective, because no team in the AFC South has really gone on a long run. You've had the Titans had their couple seasons. You had the Colts had a couple seasons here or there. You had even the Texans, even under Bill O'Brien. When he was the GM and coach there in Houston, had a couple seasons where they won the division title and had playoff appearances as well. But Jacksonville has not been that really in that mix, except for one season. I think it was that Blake Bortles season where they some kind of way made it to the AFC Championship game, which was crazy. I mean, that's been good time back. But, I guess it really wasn't that far back. It was 2017. But I guess my question is, are we seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars really kind of, you know, start to be that dominant team in the AFC South. Could they be that dominant team for a few years? Because you look at the Titans, kind of going to maybe even be in rebuild mode. The Colts, I think they have a lot of pieces. Obviously, they have Jonathan Taylor. I think they have some really good pieces on defense. But I still think even if they land the quarterback that they want in the draft, I think they're a couple years away. Obviously, the Houston Texans are at least a couple years away. So can Jacksonville kind of really, you know, being the young team that they are, really on both sides of the football, could they kind of put that line in the sand and say, look, we're the standard in this AFC South right now? I think it's possible, man. I think it's possible, and I think it starts with this wild card game this weekend. That big-time playoff game that goes down on Saturday night there in Jacksonville between the, you know, look, this I think you can make an argument that this is the best matchup of the weekend. I really do. Now, you sit there and you look at the Chargers coming in after gaining their access to the playoffs, being the fifth seed. Obviously, we know what the Chargers are about. They have a lot of people, I think, would think of their offense first, but they're, you know, obviously you look at the defense is really good as well. A lot of pieces over there, man. And the Chargers, with all the moves that they made in the offseason, a lot of people had them penciled in to really challenge the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills for maybe even a spot to get to the Super Bowl. You know, you look at Justin Herbert and Eckler and Mike Williams and all those dudes, man, on that offense that can go get the football and put it in the end zone. Really dangerous football team. But I think this probably, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's the worst matchup they could have had. Obviously, they, you know, I don't know if the Chargers would have wanted to go to Cincinnati or Buffalo. Obviously, I don't think that would have been the right thing. So they've got the right matchup. I just don't think this is the matchup that's going to be as easy as some people think it's going to be for the Chargers. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars win this game on Saturday night. I just really do. And this is a young team that is up and coming, like I say, on both sides of the football. You got Peterson as your head coach. I'm not sure how far the Jacksonville Jaguars can go in this playoff. I think they probably lose in the next round in the divisional playoff, because obviously if they it would be a possibility that they could be the lowest remaining seed. And obviously if they are, they would have to travel to Kansas City. I don't see them winning that game. But I could see them hanging. I could see them hanging at Kansas City. We've seen Kansas City have tough ball games in the playoffs before. We've seen the Chiefs play down to opponents here in the regular season. So, you know, if the Jaguars actually do win this game, I think they could be dangerous for the Chiefs, but I don't think they will go much further. But I think that would begin to kind of cement their spot as being the team to beat here for the foreseeable future in the AFC South. I think it's really possible. Obviously, again, we've got to go through this offseason and see who the Titans pick up, if they make a change at quarterback, who's going to be the offensive coordinator. Same thing in Indianapolis. So, you know, again, it's not etched in stone, but the Jacksonville Jaguars could be making that change of the guard there in the AFC South. It would not be surprising at all to me. So we'll see how that goes. But I've got the Jaguars winning that game against the Chargers. I really do, man. I think ultimately the Chargers are the better team. But I like what I'm seeing in Jacksonville. I think they get it done. Probably, if I had to predict a score, I'm going to say around Jacksonville 27, Chargers 24. I think it's going to be sort of a really tight game right down to the wire. But I think the Jaguars get it done. I'm going to make a few picks here in the wild card round. I'm going ahead and make my picks of the other games as well. Unfortunately, as NFL fans, I don't want to say that we're being cheated. I don't think that's really the right way to put it, because we're talking about players that are injured. But unfortunately, we're not going to get the best of what we, you know, of the playoffs. We're not going to get the best of a few teams, namely the Miami Dolphins, with Tua Tagovailoa still injured with that concussion, still, I guess, still in concussion protocol. A lot of people calling for him to retire, which, much as I hate to say it, probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But I would rather him at least try to go to one of those protective helmets if he can wear that comfortably to try to prolong his career and really try to be the quarterback that everyone expected him to be. But at the same time, it's about his safety, man. And so I don't know. I really hate to see him retire, as I'm sure anyone would. So I'm hoping that he'll do something to go to that protective helmet or whatever and really try to protect himself a little better. But unfortunately, whatever the case may be with that, he's not going to play in that game on Sunday at noon against the Buffalo Bills. So the Dolphins are going to have, you know, Teddy Bridgewater or the other guy that's been starting. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it really, truly, it probably didn't matter if Tua was in the lineup. I don't think Miami wins that game. I mean, but now the Dolphins did really play the Bills tough a few weeks ago. I think it was a Saturday night game. That was a really good game, went down to the wire. So you can't really say that, oh, well, you know, I can't say that the Dolphins would not have won that game if Tua was in there. But you know it's going to be very tough for them to get that done. And by the way, while I'm talking about Buffalo, I just want to say, man, that I've not been on these airwaves since the DeMar Hamlin incident happened. I am just so happy that everything has turned out the way that it has. I never doubted it. You know, obviously, I am definitely a believer in God, a believer in his healing powers and all of that. And I definitely think that if you're going to have a cardiac arrest or an event like that Hamlin had, probably one of the best places you can have it is on a football field, man, especially with, you know, professionals in the NFL. He got the absolute best care that he could, and this dude is back at home, and he's going to be able to rehab, do all his rehab and everything at home, and that is just a huge, huge blessing, and I'm just really happy to hear that is the case with him. And man, that was a scary sight that night, and I'm just really happy to see him back on his feet. And who knows, man? I mean, look, I'm just happy that this dude is going to get to live, and he's going to get to I think do really great things. I think God saved him for a reason. I don't think there's any question about it. He already was proving with his, you know, the organization that he has that he's, you know, a really good guy, and he's doing a lot of good works publicly and everything. I think this dude, man, could possibly play again. I really do. But if he doesn't, that's fine and dandy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying that, but I think right now, if anybody could probably do it, this dude could probably do it. He probably could get there and play here in the next year or two or something. I would not be shocked to see that happen. I just would not be. So I'm so really thrilled to see him on the road to recovery and continue praying for him. But, yeah, I think the Bills definitely move on in that game against the Dolphins. I don't think that game will be really close. That goes down as the first game on Sunday. The very first, we'll look at the other AFC wild card game. The Baltimore Ravens, man, again, they're without Lamar Jackson. They were without Huntley this past weekend against Cincinnati. So now they go back to Cincinnati again. I'm not going to go through all of that. They were having with the possible coin toss or whatever. I think Baltimore had to win that game to make that possible or whatever. All of that's out the window. Obviously, we know about the Buffalo scenario. If they end up in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, that game is going to be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a neutral site. That was the NFL's way of canceling that in Buffalo-Cincinnati Monday night game and making this kind of be fair, basically. And I think that's probably the way they plan to do it. If this scenario comes up, it's probably the best way that they could do that. So, again, Buffalo and Kansas City very well could play in Atlanta. I tell you what, I've never been to an NFL playoff game. I might have to try to cop some tickets to that. I don't know how much it would cost, but I'm definitely going to look into it if that thing goes down. Anyway, but I think you think about Baltimore playing without Lamar Jackson again. This past Sunday, they played without Huntley as well. They were competitive, losing that game 27-16 to Cincinnati, but they were never going to win that game. We know that. I can't see them winning. Huntley is supposed to be back. He has been throwing this week. That gives them a better shot because, the Ravens, you think about backup quarterbacks, even though Huntley may not be the best backup in the NFL, the way they do it, the way he plays, they don't lose a whole lot. At least they don't have to change the playbook very much at all with Huntley in there versus Lamar Jackson. So, Huntley gives them a better shot. But I would be shocked if they get that done there in Cincinnati. Let's look at the NFC games. You got the Saturday game. Seattle at San Francisco. Seahawks kind of backed their way into the playoffs after Detroit eliminated Green Bay in that really great game on Sunday Night Football last week. So Seattle gets in. I don't see them beating the 49ers. Look at the Sunday game. I'm not even going to talk about that much longer. I mean, a good season for the Seahawks, but it ends on Saturday night. You look at the Giants going to Minnesota. This is a game, man, that I look at as a possible upset. I look at two higher-seeded teams or lower-seeded teams, however you want to say it. The possible upsets in this weekend, in my opinion, Jacksonville really isn't of the lower seed, so I can't really say that. Okay, so that's not, I really can't look at that one as an upset, so I'm not even going to mention that. Okay, but the big upset this weekend very well could come with the Giants at Minnesota. We've seen Minnesota do this before, man. When it comes to a primetime spot, they have not been able to close the deal. A lot of times, again, we got to the NFC Championship game on a couple of occasions. We know all about that. We know about that Saints game. We remember that Falcons game on way back there. I think, the Dirty Birds and all that. They've been a few times, and they have not been able to get over the hump. Now, this week, I think this Giants team is really underrated, man. I think, you look at Daniel Jones, you look at Saquon Barkley. I think they're more than capable of winning this football game. I really do. And that is the, the second game on Sunday. I think that is a very interesting game. I really do. And I've got the Giants winning that game, a tight one. I'm going to say the score. My prediction would be New York 24, Vikings 23. Maybe a late field goal, something like that, to close that thing out. I like the Giants this weekend. I just really do. And that's no disrespect to Minnesota or anything like that. Just kind of calling it as I see it. But we'll see how it works out. And then we look at, obviously, the Monday night game. Tampa Bay hosting the NFC South champs, hosting the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys had a chance before Sunday began, before on week 18, to possibly end up with the number one seed overall in the NFC. If, of course, Philadelphia would have had to lose, but that didn't happen. If they even had a shot, maybe even to be number two. It's almost like they wanted to be the fifth seed and have to travel to Tampa Bay to play this football game. It's almost like they wanted it. And it's just mind blowing. It was mind blowing what we saw there with the Cowboys in Washington. Everybody playing, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, all those dudes, Zeke, Parsons. And they go and just, it was like they were zombies. They were, we saw the players out there, but they were absolutely lifeless against the Commanders this past Sunday with all of that on the line, possibly. And so to see that going on, man, is just crazy to me. And so now they're the fifth seed. And, you know, I don't know, man, because, again, I think there's no question they're the better team. I mean, you know, we can sit here and talk about it. Oh, the Bucs have Tom Brady and all that. Look, no, they've had Tom Brady all season, and they're 8-9. Okay, they are below 500. I mean, seriously. This is not a good football team, man. Are they dangerous? Yeah, obviously, of course they are. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying that, especially if you're going to play them in Tampa Bay. But is this a good football team? No, it's not. But Dallas put themselves in this predicament to have possibly, I don't know, man. I think Dallas finds a way to win this game, but it would not shock me or anybody at all if Tampa Bay wins this game. I think a lot of people are picking Tampa Bay in this game. I've got Dallas winning it. I'm going to say by a score of 31-27, somewhere in that range. 30, you know, really another tight game. I think we have a couple games. Obviously, we're not going to get the best of a couple teams, namely Miami and Baltimore. But I think the other games, besides maybe that game with Seattle and San Francisco, I think all those other games could be really tight and could make for some really entertaining football this coming weekend. So we'll see how it goes. Really looking forward to it either way it goes. Anyway, really quick, man, before we end the show again, this is a really quick show. I wanted to get everything back going a little bit. Normally, I don't do shows this quick. We all know that. If you listen to my show, you know I go over an hour at least. So we're only sitting there about 40 minutes right now. And but I'm gonna close it out anyway. College basketball is starting to heat up big time. Got Alabama again. Another change under the guard. Kentucky Wildcats. What in the world is going on there? You know, as impressive as that victory looked, Alabama beating them 78-52 by 26 points, up by over 30 points there at one point there in Tuscaloosa. As impressive as that looked, I wasn't really as impressed, even though I'm a Bama fan. Alabama moved up to number 4 because of that victory. But, you know, I think this is more just how bad Kentucky is right now. Don't get me wrong, Alabama's really good. We're going to talk about the Crimson Tide a lot more further, going further or whatever. Kentucky then leaves Tuscaloosa. They go to South Carolina. They get beat. I'm sorry, they go back home, rather, to Rupp Arena and lose to South Carolina, the team that was predicted to be the worst team in the SEC. Let me put it into perspective with you. Kentucky loses that game. UAB, the team right here in town that, you know, that I like, they're in Conference USA, cleared the bench against South Carolina. They won by, I think they only won by 14 points, but they were up by like 25, 26 points on South Carolina back there in December. UAB is 12-5 on the season, which is really a disappointment. But that puts a little perspective on where South Carolina's program is right now. And they were up double digits literally all night against Kentucky, at Kentucky. So we're going to have to see what goes on with John Calipari and all of that up there with Big Blue. Lots of questions going on. We'll talk about the rest of the SEC as well as we go forward. Also, we'll obviously talk some NBA. We're going to get into, got to have a really NBA focused show here soon. We're getting to the Hawks and all of that, their issues, the Pelicans. We'll talk about how they're doing pretty well right now, the Heat, all of those teams down here. And of course, we'll, you know, stretch it out. Teams around the NBA as well, what's going on in Brooklyn and LA and Golden State and all of that. So we'll do all of that, man. But I just wanted to kind of get my feet back in the water a little bit with this podcast. And I definitely hope you enjoyed this show. Be on the lookout for much, much more from me. And definitely like, subscribe, drop a comment, do all those things. Give me a 5-star rating, whether you're on Apple or Spotify. I would definitely appreciate all of that, man. And definitely continue to ball about the South with me, C-Wood. I'll holler at you next time. Be cool, be safe, be blessed. I'm out.